The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
On the FlyPod New Media Network and coming to you from Studio Number 7, I'm your host, Gary Puckett. Welcome to the program. We're pleased to have you listening in. And we do thank our syndication and hyper-syndication partners and our sponsors and underwriters nationwide. Without this active network of support, none of our programs would be possible. You can believe that. When you have a few minutes, visit our media site directly, www.theflypod.com. With our creatively talented team of 35 show hosts nationwide, we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. When it comes to the media, we are what's next. My guests today are Jenny Engel of Moonlight Acres Alpacas and Carrie Davis of America's Natural Fiber Works, and they are both actively involved in various aspects of the alpaca industry. Jenny, Carrie, welcome to Studio 7.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's very nice having you. Jenny, let me turn to you. In my intro, I referred to the whole alpaca thing as an industry. Is that an accurate description? Is it an industry per se?
I would say that it would be becoming an industry. I think it's developing, and it has developed a lot since 1993 when most of the alpacas first came to the United States.
Let me begin by asking you, are there different types of alpacas or are they all pretty much the same?
There are two different types of alpacas. One in which we raise are the Surrey alpacas and the other one is the Wakaya alpacas. Most of the alpacas that you would see would be the Wakayas.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 90% of the alpacas are Wakayas, and they look like the soft teddy bear, fluffy alpacas that you see. The Surreys have the long pencil-like ringlets, and that's how the two differ. The Surrey alpaca is just a more rare alpaca, and they did not start coming over to the United States until more recently than the Wakaya.
Well, that leads me to ask you then, alpacas are not originally indigenous to North America. Where are they originally from?
They're from Peru, Bolivia, and Chile.
Okay, so South America.
Yes, South America.
Are they accustomed to warmer climates necessarily or no?
They're actually accustomed to much cooler climates.
Mountainous areas?
Mountainous areas, yes.
Okay. Do they belong to some particular family of animal species? I mean, are they related in the animal kingdom to any other type of animal that we may be really familiar with?
Yes, they are members of the camelid family, and that would be the llama, the camel, the vicuña, and the guanaco.
Wow. What do they eat, if I might ask?
Mostly they would eat grass and hay. We supplement their feed with grain and also provide them with minerals.
Is the grain and the minerals to fatten them up or just keep them healthier?
To supplement their diet mostly, to give them what they are used to getting and what they need.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. In terms of a volume of what they are eating every day, are they big eaters or in terms of the consumption?
Actually, no. They eat very little compared to their body weight. They eat about 1.5% of their body weight per day, which is...
That's not much.
No, it's not. It's very much lower.
I think I eat more than that.
Yeah, I think a horse is something like 17%.
Wow. So it's pretty efficient, really.
Yes, they are.
Well, what is the typical lifespan of an alpaca? Let's take the Surrey.
Both are about the same. They average between 15 and 20 years, and I think the oldest one they have on record is 27.
Are they difficult to breed in, if I could call it captivity? I mean,
typically, they're easy to breed. They'll pretty much take care of it themselves. But there are the few times when you have to intervene, as we've had to before, and kind of help things along.
Okay. Well, what is the length of the gestation period for alpacas?
11 and a half months.
Wow. There's a lot that can go wrong in 11 and a half months. Is that an over-exaggeration, or do you have to watch them close during this time?
We haven't really had to watch them too closely. Mostly we'll weigh the dam, is what you would call her. We weigh
her.
That's
the female.
That's the female. We weigh her every month just to make sure that she's gaining weight and not losing weight. And that is the biggest sign. If you see them losing weight, then there could be a problem.
Do you have difficulty finding animal vets that are knowledgeable enough to help you care for them should they need, vaccinations or just care in general?
There really aren't that many vets out there that are real familiar with camelids. We are lucky enough to have one who has learned a lot and has taken that upon himself to learn a lot, yet still we do the vaccinations ourselves. Worm them and vaccinate them ourselves.
Yeah, okay. Well, would they be considered, in that case, would they be considered what's commonly referred to as a large animal veterinarian?
Yes, at least ours is. He is a large animal vet, and he mostly takes care of horses and cows and livestock.
Okay. What's their temperament like?
They're very sweet.
Are you biased or are they
no,
truly?
I think they're very sweet. Many times people will ask, do they spit on you?
Because
occasionally,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah. Occasionally, we've had issues with them mostly spitting at each other over food or attention or such. We do have one pregnant female that does not really like to be touched. And if we do try to capture her to give her shots or weigh her, she will spit in the air, and it's not real pleasant.
Oh, gosh. It sounds disgusting, but I guess it's all part of it, huh?
It's all part of it.
If you had to characterize the level of difficulty to care for an alpaca, how would you rank it compared to perhaps other more common livestock?
I think they're relatively easy, mostly because they have a communal dung pile, and most of them will go in one spot or maybe, depending on the size of your pasture, two or three spots, and it makes it really easy to clean up. Other than that, they're easy to feed. They're easy to care for the most part.
Are they susceptible to any special diseases that other animals might not be involved with?
Yes. The one big thing with the alpaca is it's called the meningeal worm, and it's a worm that's carried by the white-tailed deer. So if you have a heavy population of white-tailed deer in the area, then it's something that you have to vaccinate for. What happens is the white-tailed deer carry this worm, and a snail will actually carry it into the pasture, and then where the alpacas eat, that's how they can get this, and it's fatal.
Ooh, okay. Well, are alpacas raised for their meat, their fiber, or both?
They are raised for their fiber. Peru, I know that they do eat alpaca.
In terms of raising them for meat, am I confusing them with the llama?
I don't believe that the llamas are raised for meat either.
Okay. Well, on the topic of shearing alpacas for their fiber, and that is what you call it, the
shearing, correct.
Shearing, uh-huh. Okay. That's the process. Is it? It's not wool like you have with sheep, but it's you just call it fiber.
Exactly. It's called fiber. It's much, much softer than wool.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, how many times a year are alpacas typically sheared?
Typically one time a year in the spring, and you want to do that before it starts getting too hot because they can't handle all that extra fleece once it starts getting too hot.
Yeah, I don't think I could either. Well, when you shear a single alpaca, how much fiber will one shearing yield?
Anywhere between 5 and 10 pounds.
Is that a lot?
It's pretty much.
Carrie, let me ask you, because you're in this side of the business, is there such a thing as grades of fiber, you know, like from one type of alpaca to another, or is it pretty much all the same?
There's actually a certified system of grading and sorting alpaca fleece fiber, and that goes from a grade 1 all the way up to a grade 6.
Wow.
Or all the way down, I should say, to a grade 6, grade 1 being your highest quality fiber, which would mean that it's the finest, the silkiest. It will give you the best garment or product that you would like to have next to your skin. That's what the alpaca is known for.
Well, what is it that influences whether the shearing yields more one or more six? I mean, is it diet? Is it the animal itself?
A culmination of things.
Okay.
First starts with your genetics. Genetics plays a huge part in how your particular animal's fiber is going to grow. It's going to determine the consistency of your fiber. It's going to determine the fineness of the fiber. It's going to determine the length of the fiber. So all in all, that's going to determine the amount that you will harvest from your animal each year.
Very interesting. Well, what does sheared alpaca fiber sell for? I mean, in terms of a range, say at the mill level, when it's coming to you, what typically is it price per pound or?
Right now, as Jenny had said earlier, the industry is developing, and this is where it continues to grow. And we're actually seeing these prices increase over the years. And this is where it's hard to say that the alpaca is bringing $50 a pound. You can look it up on the international market. There again, that is a grade one fiber, which is an 18 micron super fine that you're getting close to $100 a pound for.
Wow.
You go to a grade six and you're maybe getting $5 or $6 an ounce for it. So you could be going $40 a pound.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that all fiber buying mills are different in some regard from one to the next, but beyond just price per pound, what does an alpaca owner look for when they're selecting a mill or a marketplace for their fiber?
That's a great question, and there are many different levels there, again, of a milling. A person can choose to, if they have enough alpacas and enough yield, they can bulk it all together and actually sell it to a co-op or to a mill for that mill to use it for what they want. A lot of farms at this point in time are in the market to promote their own animals. So where they are going with their fiber harvest is to a mill that will process it on an individual basis and send it back to them so they can promote their animals and their farm.
Okay, so let me get the role straightened out in my head as to the role of the mill. Mm-hmm. Are you processing it and then returning it to its source?
Yes, that's what our mill does. There are mills out there that will buy it, and they will make their own product and sell their own product. But where the industry, the alpaca industry, is thriving right now is a lot of the farms want to see their animals be sustainable, their farms be sustainable, and they're finding that when they get their fiber processed into yarn, they can pay for the maintenance and the keep of those animals.
Well, as an individual alpaca ages, does the quality or the nature of their fiber change?
Yes.
Does it get better or worse?
It usually gets a little worse. So your grade one may go down to a grade four, possibly worse.
Okay. Age is the real thing here.
Age is a huge issue.
It always is. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, I know. Well, just if I may kind of go a little bit
sure.
more in depth with that, your males, once they hit 2.5 to 3 years old, their testosterone is really flowing. Their testosterone is the biggest thing that will just wreak havoc on fiber. So if they're not a breeding male, if they're not going to be used for stud purposes, I highly recommend gelding those males that are not going to be used for stud purposes.
Okay.
Your females, for example, not all females we're learning right now need to be bred. They don't have what it takes to be a breeding female, whether it be her genetics, her conformation, or she just simply can't carry a healthy crea. So she doesn't need to be breeding. Once she hits that breeding age, her fiber is going to start deteriorating and becoming coarser because all of her nutrients are now going to this offspring that she's developing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, is there anything special that needs to be done to the fiber to prepare it before it even goes to the mill?
Yes, there are a lot of things that an alpaca breeder can do to get the most for their most return for their fiber. It all comes back to the basics. Making sure your pasture is clean throughout the year, free of debris, free of burrs. Try and have dirt spots filled in with grass. That's a huge, huge thing that people don't realize that can be a huge loss in your processing. When it comes down to shearing, shear day is a very important day for a fiber-bearing farm. If they are growing fiber, shearing day is very important. You need to sort your fiber. You need to blow these animals out. When I say blow these animals out, a lot of farms will use a leaf blower on their alpacas to blow the excess dirt out of their fiber that gets trapped in there.
Well, that makes sense.
And then just the way you harvest your fiber, hiring a qualified shearer, somebody who has several alpacas under their shears, and they're experienced and they know how to do it.
Now, I would assume that shearing an alpaca is different than shearing sheep.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very different.
Okay. Well, what type of products does the fiber end up being used for?
What comes out of my mill typically is a yarn, some type of a yarn product. There are different weights that you can choose, varying from a lace weight, which is a very, very fine, up to a chunky, which is very, very thick. Just depends on what the customer can market and what is selling in their area as to what they want to do. And then from there, it can be made into anything that you can knit, crochet, weave, anything.
Wow. Wow. Well, I would assume that the number of people raising alpacas is not a huge number currently nationwide, but based on what you were saying earlier, it continues to grow and expand. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Is there some sort of network or association that, for lack of a better term, the alpaca people generally become associated with or get involved with?
Yes, it's actually called the Alpaca Owners and Breeders Association.
Okay.
It's a nationally recognized group. We all join. We join AOBA is what it's called, Alpaca Owners and Breeders Association. And that's where we corroborate and really form the industry and kind of project where our industry needs to go.
Is it pretty much of a friendly sharing environment, or is it actually more competitive? I mean, what's the nature of the association members when they all get together? I mean, are they willing to kind of like share trade secrets with each other? Because some industries are and some industries are not.
I'd say for the most part, people are very forthcoming with their experiences and just want to see other people either get the answers that they're looking for or succeed just in general we all have the love of the animals and we all have the best interest of the animal at heart. However, there are, you know, just as any industry, everybody wants to be on the top. And sometimes there's just some cutthroat, but it's with any industry.
Okay. Well, you know, I kind of sense from listening to both of you that it's work, obviously, but there's some other aspect to it. This is something you would really have to enjoy. Is that right?
Yes.
And do you?
Yes.
I mean, because it's kind of coming through. There's a lot of smiling going on here, folks. So, do the animals kind of have personalities?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just out this morning feeding, and I have one that has this personality, and you have to watch her. She actually kicked me in my backside after I fed her this morning. It's just a little thank you, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Now, do they have shoes or just a hoof?
They have a padded foot with two toenails.
Okay.
So it didn't hurt. It was just one of those things. It was like, really? Thanks.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, Carrie, I want to thank you both for coming into the studio today. I think I've learned quite a bit. And this is all new and interesting information today. And listeners, we're interested in what you think about today's program. You can either leave a public comment on the listener page for the show, or you can email us directly in the main production studio, shout@theflypod.com. Again, my guests have been Jenny Engel and Carrie Lewis, well-entrenched and well-versed, dare I say, authorities on the subject of raising alpacas. And I'm your host, Gary Puckett. I don't do the alpaca thing, but I feel like I know much more at this point in time. And we are coming to you free and clear through the New Media Network program feeds of www.theflypod.com. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, hey, let us hear from you. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, when it comes to the media, we are What's Next.